Okay. Now I heard the recording in progress. Oh, okay. Praise God.
Well, they moved these buttons around. It's a whole new system this week, and I have to figure it out all over again.
Yeah. Okay. Well, praise God. We're here, and we believe. I want to agree with what Madeline shared. It was so nice to hear from you, Madeline, and so glad for what God is doing and will yet do in you and through you. But I want to agree, the time of miracles is just at hand, brethren. I mean, it is just at hand. We are going to see it. We are going to see that time. We see miracles. But I mean, a time of great miracles. We're going to see it. So praise the Lord. I would like to start out. Let's start out in the book of Genesis and chapter 3. And there was something that stirred my heart several weeks ago. To talk about the well, let's just get into here. Genesis chapter 3, and we'll begin in verse 1. We'll read a few verses here. Now, the serpent was more subtle, he was beguiling, okay, than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" And the woman said unto the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the tree of the fruit But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened. And you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." One more verse, verse 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat. Now, what happened here is the serpent, which we know is Satan, okay? A manifestation of Satan through the serpent. He was beguiling Eve. And so what he did was he made an appeal to her, and he appealed to her mind. Now, the mind is the, excuse me, the mind is the head of the soul. So I'm going to make a statement, and I'm probably going to repeat this statement throughout the message. He who controls the mind controls the man. Whoever controls the mind controls the man. Now, there's only two elements, only two elements of control. We are either controlled by the serpent, by the devil, or we are controlled by the Spirit of God under Christ Jesus. There's no middle ground, no exceptions. We are either controlled. So what we could say is we are either controlled by the mind of Christ or by the carnal mind, which is under the devil. So, and this is, it's my battle every day, Brad. It's your battle. It's our battle every day, because we have, well, let's put it this way. It's just like we don't use radios much more, but on your radio, AM, FM, satellite, whatever, you have so many different frequencies, but you have to tune in to a certain frequency. And so basically, all of these frequencies are floating over in the spirit, waiting to make a connection to your mind. Now, that goes for the media, our computers, our tablets, our phones, whatever media source. All of these frequencies, we'll just call them frequencies, are in the heavenlies, in the spirit, waiting to make a connection. And in the same token, the Spirit of God is hovering over all of mankind, waiting for the opportunity for someone to open their heart to God, and the Spirit of God comes in. And that is called the mind of Christ. Now, we absolutely want to be controlled by God. Amen. I don't want to be controlled by the government. I don't want to be controlled by some spirit. I certainly don't want to be controlled by the devil. But I do want to be controlled by God, because I trust that when I give my mind over to God, it's only going to be good. And if I give my mind over to the carnal mind, to the mind of the beast, it's only evil. It's going to be bad. So keep in mind, we are either under the mind of Christ or we are under the carnal mind and all that that involves. Okay, so watch the scenario here. Okay. First of all, he questions the word of God in verse 1. Did God really say that? Are you sure? Do you think you could be mistaken? No, God really said that. And the devil is trying to question. You notice in your Bible, it does have a question mark at the end of that verse. Okay. So now the woman said to the serpent, well, first of all, she's going down to his level because she's having a conversation. She's entertaining a conversation with the devil. Yes, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit, verse 3, which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Now, verse 4. The serpent said to the woman, you shall not surely die. Now he's given an alternative thought. You shall not die. Oh, really? Tell me more. Okay. For God doth know that in the day that you eat thereof, your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Notice what the devil wanted to do. He wanted to appeal to her reasoning factor. Reason, when you reason things out, that is an open door to hell, brethren. Human reason, and we're not going to go there. That's Karl Marx and Freud, and that's human reason, is the mind of the Antichrist. Okay, so basically, God is appealing by the Spirit to our mind, our understanding. Okay. But so is the devil. He's coming to the mind and he's trying to get to our understanding by reason, to reason things out. Now, look how the woman reasoned this out, okay, and justified her action, okay? So, in verse 6, now when the woman saw the tree was good for food, number one, that it was pleasant to the eyes, number two, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit and gave it to her husband. Do you see what happened? She reasoned it out because that, excuse me, that was the appeal of the devil to make her to reason things out. And that is the carnal mind. And every time that we, okay, I'm gonna make a little statement here. This is telling on me. Okay. I believe that the speed limits in America are unfair. You know, I saw this little thing, this lady got pulled over. It probably was a fake video. This big horsepower car, a convertible, and the cop pulls her over, and she's doing 50 miles over the speed limit. She's doing 100 and a 50 miles out. She says to him, "Officer, this car is not meant to go 50 miles an hour. This car is meant to go, your speed limits are wrong." Now, I agree with her. I like to go fast. But do you know what? The law of the land says this is the speed limit and you will obey it or you will pay the consequences. So my reason is, I'll tell you, we have this kind of unwritten law among us brethren here. Okay, the speed limit is 55, but grace is 5. So I can go 60. That's grace. Well, maybe I'll bump it up to 62, maybe 63. But do you see what you do? Now, do we do that with God? Can we sometimes reason things out and justify? Because that's exactly what happened with Eve. First of all, the devil questioned the word of God. And so there was that seed of doubt there. And then she began to question the word of God and reason it out and say, well, it could be. Okay? Now, let's, I don't want to spend a lot of time here because we got a lot of ground to cover. I want you to go, okay, let's go right. We're going to go all the way to Revelation. We're going to go from, excuse me, from Genesis to Revelation. We're going to go to chapter 13. Revelation 13, and go down to verse 11. Now, what we read in Genesis is the beginning of the carnal mind. What we're reading in Revelation is where that carnal mind is going to end up. This is the final destination of the carnal mind, okay? Revelation chapter 13 and down to verse 11. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. Now, in the beginning of this chapter, you see a beast coming up out of the sea, out of the nations. Here you see a beast coming up out of the earth. Let's clarify something. There's only going to be one beast. They're all going to be one beast working together. Okay? It's going to be a religious beast. It's going to be an economic beast, and it's going to be a political beast, but it's going to be one beast system. Now, verse 12, he exercises all the power of the first beast before him and causes, see, he's working with the first beast because there's only one beast. There's going to be one beast system, just like there are many antichrists. John said it, but there's going to be only one antichrist, and he will inhabit all of the nature of Satan, but he will be one man. But there are many antichrists, okay? So he exercises all the power of the first beast before him and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. You know, this is miracles. This is why I know what Madeline said to us is absolutely true. Because if the devil's going to work miracles, he's going to try to mimic the miracles of God. And God is going to give the church in the last days miracle working power. I believe it. And verse 14, he deceiveth them. Now remember, this is the same deception that was in the garden. And he deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those what miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by the sword and did live. Verse 15. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of this beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Okay. Google, I'm going to ask you a question. Google, would you explain to me what worship means? The word you all appeal, right? Either you type it in your search or you talk to Google and you say, Google, what is the meaning of worship? What you're talking to is AI, artificial intelligence, okay? I wrote down a couple of initials here. IT, Intel, okay? AI, artificial intelligence. There are iBots, robots. Now, Who created? And let's just group it all into one and call it artificial intelligence, because that's the buzzword right now. Who created artificial intelligence? Well, there were a bunch of smart guys in Silicon Valley. No. We just read it in Genesis. Artificial intelligence was started by the devil. And what is the purpose behind artificial intelligence? To control the mind. It doesn't matter. Now, just suppose that I did ask Google, Google, what is the meaning of worship? And Google tells me, do you think he's going to tell me the truth? Absolutely not. He's going to cloak it with lies because the people that create this intelligence, because first of all, our computer, our phone, our tablet, whatever that we're connected to the internet is way beyond our capacity of intelligence. Amen. I don't know. Some of you are pretty savvy in Intel, okay? It's way beyond us. Why? Because the real author of artificial intelligence is the devil. And we need to, what we need to do is to guard our mind. Because, brethren, they're after us. And they're after the mind. Because you saw what happened to Eve. He caused her to question the word of God, to reason things out, and then eventually the devil, he got her to do what he wanted her to do. So I'm gonna. I just read this. If I didn't read it in a source that I believe to be very reliable, I read this article in, let me see if I, oh yeah, I know where it's at. It's in Lucerne. It's in Lucerne, Switzerland. And there's a Catholic church. And they have, now listen to this, brother. You're not going to believe this. And it's true. They have a confessional booth. Okay. Every Catholic church has a confessional booth. They have a confessional booth tied into the internet, and you sit down and you make your confession to AI. And AI counsels you. I'm not making this up. You can look it up. In Lucerne, Switzerland, in the Catholic Church, AI, they call it the AI Jesus. Oh, God help us. Now, something else that's in Switzerland, I don't know why they're picking on little Switzerland, but they sure want to control Switzerland. There is a thing called CERN. CERN. Some of you know about that. CERN is what they're trying to do. They're trying to study and break down the atom, ATOM, atom. To find the God particle. And I'm telling you, some weird stuff has happened in this. What do they call that? collusion buster or something. Okay. But any rate, some weird stuff has gone on where I don't know, some force took over, and one of their scientists just got lost into this force and disappeared. I mean, this is, I want to show you some things here. There are, and what the spirit, there's a spirit over CERN, okay? And the spirit over CERN is a Hindu deity. And I can't remember exactly what the name of that deity is, but I'm going to tell you a deity, a Hindu deity called Avatar. AVATA, and there's a movie, and I think there's a series of movies. Avatar is a Hindu deity, and he's a deity of reincarnation, by the way. If you went to see the movie Avatar, please take it to the Lord. You may want to repent, I'm sure. But what is it? The movie Avatar, these robots that are programmed to act like humans. I saw a robot playing tennis. Okay. And they programmed this robot to follow the ball and to play tennis, and he won 95% of the time. Okay. What we're talking about is a superior intelligence appealing to our mind, to our understanding. And what was the thing that I said at the beginning? He who controls the mind controls the man. Now, we haven't seen the end, the big picture of where this artificial intelligence is going. But I guarantee you, if you look at what we just read here in Revelation, we're seeing that power, verse 15, a power was given to give life to the image of the beast. This beast is speaking and causing as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. What does the beast want? Worship. Now, I'm not saying that if we're on the internet and we're doing something on the internet and we ask a question to Google or whatever we do, I'm not saying that we're giving our mind over to the devil. But what I am saying is the devil wants your mind. And right now, one of the greatest attacks upon the mind is intel. Artificial intelligence appealing. Doesn't this sound reasonable? Just think, it looks good. It's good for food, one to be desired. You see how Eve reasoned that out, and she bypassed the truth of God, and that's what artificial intelligence after. To control the mind, to control the man. Okay. Look at Daniel chapter 8. Now, Daniel chapter 8. Daniel is a companion book to Revelation. And they should be read together, they should be studied together. And Daniel quotes Revelation, and John in Revelation quotes Daniel. They are companion prophetic books. Okay? So we're going down to Daniel chapter 8 and verse 23. Okay. And in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to the full, a king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences shall stand up. Now, is that the time that we are in? The latter times. Are the transgressors coming to the full? Yes. Brethren, we're in the time when transgression is going to maximize to the full, to the fullness. Okay. Verse 24. And his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. And he shall destroy wonderfully. In other words, by miracles. We read that in Revelation. And shall prosper and practice and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people. Don't you see? The whole mandate of the kingdom of the beast system, is to destroy humanity and the enemy of the devil. Is the Christian church, the sons of God. So this is why persecution is ramping up against Jews and Christians right now. It's ramping up because we are the enemy of the state. We are the enemy of the devil. And I'm glad I'm his enemy because I don't want to be his friend. God help us. Now, verse 25. Through his policy, that's his intellect. This is intel. Through his policy, also, he shall cause craft, that's his deceit, to prosper in his hand, and he shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace shall destroy many. He shall also stand up against the prince of princes, but he shall be broken without hands. And we say, Amen. The little stone cut out of the mountain, the sons of God are going to destroy the image of the beast, to destroy the beast system, and overcome the beast. Now, the first area that we overcome and we must overcome is the mind. Okay? One more scripture, and then we're going to get down to business here. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians 2. And we'll just read a couple verses here. Chapter 2 and verse 1. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit nor by word, because the battle is spiritual. Or be troubled neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means. For that day shall not come except there come a falling away, an apostasy, a rebellion first. And the man of sin will be revealed, the son of perdition. That is the beast revealing himself. And we could probably say that the beast, the head of the beast, and the Antichrist are one and the same. Just like all of these beasts are one beast, one kingdom, kingdom of darkness. And the Antichrist will inhabit Satan, and he will be the head of this system. Okay? It shall not, okay. Well, let me start again. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away, a rebellion first, the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, Apollyon, the destroyer. Okay? Now, how is he going to destroy? He's destroying the children's minds in school. Reasoning to them. Now, isn't it reasonable that because you're a boy and you kind of like to play with dolls and you kind of like the way girls dress up, isn't it reasonable to think that maybe there's a mistake here, that you should really be a girl, you're not a boy? This is the destruction of the children. If you can control the children at a young age, you will control the next generation. Then we grow these children up and we send them to college, and 90%, I don't know what it's like in your country, but 90% of college professors in the United States are Marxist, communist, atheists. And they're controlling the minds, these young minds that go to college to get an education, to go out and have a career, and their minds are being destroyed. If it wasn't destroyed in grade school, it's going to be destroyed in college. It's an attack upon the mind, because he who controls the mind controls the man. And this is what Satan is after. Now, what does he want? What is his final goal? Verse 4. He who opposes and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Satan wants to be worshipped in the place of God. And we have so many examples of that. Nimrod was the first Antichrist, and he wanted what? To be worshipped. Then you come down to many other kingdoms. I mean, Egypt was founded on worship to these false deities. Babylon. So all of these are means for Satan to be worshiped. And how does he do that? He comes into the mind, comes into your understanding, and the very worst, absolute worst thing that we can do is to reason things out. And I'm saying, and it's an abomination, brethren, to reason out the word of God. This is a spiritual book. This is a superior intelligence beyond anything. I'm talking about the Word of God. No matter how much intel, no matter how much deception, the Word of God working, the two witnesses, The word of God working with the spirit working with the word is the highest form of intelligence because it brings us to the mind of Christ. Now, let's go to work here. Proverbs chapter 4. This is God's wisdom speaking to us. Get wisdom. Verse 5. Proverbs 4, verse 5. Get wisdom. Get what? Understanding. Forget it not. Neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get with wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Wisdom is Christ, plain and simple. And we're going to show you that in the scripture. Wisdom is Christ. Understanding is knowing Christ. So, what is the devil appealing to? Our understanding. So that we do not have a revelation of Christ, personal relationship with Christ. The battles appear, brethren. And it's real. Amen. It's real. And it involves every one of us. Every day of our life. It's World War III, right up here. I think World War III already started. Right up here in the mind. God help us. Now, I want to move a little quickly here. Matthew chapter 13. And I think you know this chapter, the parables, chapter of the parables. But we're not going to get into the parables because I think you understand. And I think Marcus had some good teaching on the parables. But I want you to go down to verse. Well, let's see. Yeah, well, let's start. Just go to verse 23. This is the verse I want. Matthew 13, 23. He that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that heareth. Faith cometh by what? Hearing. Hearing by the word of God. Okay? But he that receiveth seed into good ground is he that heareth the word. Understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some a hundredfold, some 60, and some 30. What we're saying here, wisdom is Christ. Understanding is knowing Christ. This is how the word of God is the seed of Christ planted in the soul, in our mind, in our heart. And it's going to bring forth 30, 60, 100-fold fruit in our mind because the devil is appealing to our mind, to our understanding, to reason things out. God, through the mind of Christ, is appealing to our mind by the word of God, which is not reason. Jesus said, the words that I speak, they are what? They're spirit and they're life. The word produces life in our heart, in our mind. And this is, brethren, I don't know, but we are in the battle of our life. We're in the battle, the mother of all battles. And there's a people. Let me jump ahead a little bit. There's a people that are that God has ordained in the latter times that are going to reject the mind of the beast and receive the mind of Christ and receive his mark in their mind and will not be overcome. Amen. There's a people that will not be deceived by the mind of the beast. Okay. So go to Ephesians. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. I'm going to ask Joanne to look that up in the Amplified. Ephesians 1, and go down to verse 17. I'm going to read it. And this is very good in the Amplified, by the way. I'm going to read it. I'm going to ask Joanne to read it in the Amplified. We're in Ephesians, what did I say, chapter 1. Go down to verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. So now, the spirit of wisdom is the spirit of Christ. Christ is wisdom. And we're going to show you that in a minute here, that you're going to get a revelation of him, that the eyes of your what? Understanding. Now, understanding in the spirit overcomes reason. Because even if Eve could be deceived by reason, reasoning out what God said, reasoning out the word, any of us could be deceived. Okay, verse 18 again. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Okay, go ahead, Joanne, and I want you to read 17 and 18 in the Amplified.
Okay. 17. For I always pray to the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, that he may grant you a spirit of wisdom and revelation, of insight into mysteries and secrets, in the deep and intimate knowledge of him. By having the eyes of your heart flooded with light, so you can know and understand the hope to which he has called you, and how rich is his glorious inheritance in the saints, his set apart ones.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Praise God. So, when the Spirit of God floods our mind, it's light, enlightened. It's light. Because the two kingdoms, the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of light, And remember, there's only two kingdoms. There's only two minds. The mind of the beast, the carnal mind, or the mind of one is light, one is dark. Now, go one more scripture before we move on. One more scripture in Ephesians here. And why don't you turn there, Joanne, in the Amplified? It's, I think it's chapter 3. Okay. Yes, chapter 3. And go down to verse 9. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Christ Jesus. To the intent, this is the verse I want. That's the one I want in the Amplified, Joanne. To the intent that now, unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church what? The manifold wisdom of God. The manifold wisdom of God is Christ manifest in the church, to the world, and to every principality and power of the air. God has designed a people that will manifest the mind of Christ to overcome the beast. Read that once, Joanne, in verse 10.
Just 10. Okay. The purpose is that through the church, the complicated, many-sided wisdom of God in all its infinite variety and innumerable aspects might now be made known to the angelic rulers and authorities, principalities and powers in the heavenly sphere.
Amen. Thank you. Now, the battle that is going on right now, and I don't know how many of you saw the video that Brother Daniel from Norway sent out about the, what do you call that, the World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland. Thank you, Daniel, if you're listening, for sending that out. And that man was an agent of hell, and he was exposing the plan of hell to control every facet of our life through intel. And the ultimate goal is that everyone on the face of the earth will submit and worship the beast system, and will ultimately be worshiping Satan. So, and I'm not going to go into that video, but I think we could make that available again if somebody didn't see it. But he who controls the mind controls the man. Now, in the end of time, and I'm going to give you some examples. In the end of time, there's some people that refused to submit to the beast. They refused to give their mind over to the beast. They refused that mind control of the beast. How can I be numbered with the overcomers? My mind will not be taken over by the beast. Because remember now, we saw We saw the first example of how Eve reasoned the word of God, and then she said, "Well, yeah, it's good for food. It's one to be desired. What's the problem?" And she partook. Brethren, there's a people in the end of time that have been equipped with the mind of Christ, which is the manifold wisdom of God, to overcome the beast and not submit and worship the beast. It's going to cost us something. The oil, there's a cost. Amen. I understand Mark talked about that not long ago. There's a cost for that oil. But those that pay the price get the prize. We get the mind of Christ healed. Okay, so let us go on. Now remember, what we're talking about, we're talking about rejecting the mind of the beast. That's the carnal mind, the mind of the beast. And we are receiving the mind of Christ, which will overthrow the carnal mind. Okay, how do we do that? How do we work with God, work with the Spirit of God, so that I can have the mind of Christ to overthrow the mind of the beast? Go to Philippians. I think this is where we want to go. Philippians chapter 2. Yes, Philippians chapter 2. It'd be the next book over for in Ephesians. Ephesians 2. Brethren, we should know these scriptures. We should know them by heart. And if we haven't memorized, I know we say, well, most of us here are above a certain age, and it's hard to remember things. It's not hard to remember the word of God. All you do is rehearse it over and over and over again till it becomes a part of you. So in Ephesians, or excuse me, in Philippians chapter 2, let, allow this mind to be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. The same mind that Jesus Christ had on earth, he's saying, you can have that mind. You can be on the earth, yet your thoughts can be in the heavenlies. Allow this mind to be in you, which was in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death on the cross. Now, Jesus Christ was omnipotent. He was omniscient, as he was omnipotent. He was omnipotent, all-powerful, omniscient, and omnipresent. That was the one I forgot. Okay. These verses tell us that he took upon himself the form of a servant, humanity, the likeness of men. So what he did was he laid aside his omnipotence. He laid aside his omniscience, his omnipresence. He could only be at one place at one time, omnipresent. He limited his mind to whatever the Father wanted. The same with his power. He was omnipotent in his eternal state. But while he was in that body, brethren, I'm saying this because we will have the mind of Christ, but we will never be omnipotent. We will never be omniscient. We will never be omnipotent. As a matter of fact, we will never be the head. We will always be the body. In an equal relationship, because in an equal relationship with the head, we will never be the head. And that's a great deception, brethren. There's a great deception out there. There are men, foolish men, that are exalting themselves in the spirit to places where they think they are equal with God. And I'm telling you, it is a part of the great deception. So, the first thing that we do to overcome the mind of the beast is we allow this mind to be our mind. I want to reject. And we could go to Romans 8, but we won't. We want to move along here. Okay. While we're in Philippians, go to chapter 4 and look at verse 7. Well, start with verse 6, because this is such a good verses here. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all what? Understanding. It passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ. How do we get understanding? By the wisdom of Christ. The wisdom of Christ, understanding is knowing him. How do we know him? Brethren, the best way to know God is through his word, what he spoke. It's very simple. What did the serpent say to Eve? Hath God said? He appealed to reason out, question the word of God. This is the absolute word of God. Amen, and I believe it. And the more that I receive this word, let's look at that again. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, intelligence, IT, AI, whatever you want to call it, shall keep your hearts and minds. The word of God is a preservative. It preserves your mind so that the enemy can't take your mind. Okay, let's move on. Revelation chapter 14. We're going to Revelation. I don't know that we're done yet. We're getting close. Stay with me, brethren. This is not an easy message. For me, this is not an easy message to give, brother. Revelation chapter 14. And we're just going to read the first, well, we might read a couple verses here, but I want to read chapter, verse verse 1 for sure. Chapter 14 of Revelation, verse 1. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their foreheads, inscribed, brethren. Do you know what we're talking about? When Moses was on the mount and he had those tablets in his hand, God took his finger and wrote upon those stone tablets. You know what the stone tablets are? They represent our stony heart. And God took his fiery finger and wrote it on those tablets. He's writing his laws on our hearts and our minds, brethren. Did you catch that, though? His fiery finger. We're going to go through some fire, brethren. It's going to cost us. Are you listening to me, Jim? I'm telling you, this is, it's going to get a lot rougher as the days progress and the fullness of evil comes. The fullness with transgressors are come to the full. There'll be no limit to whatever the mind thinks evil to do. He will do it. No limit. But then there's a people that are going to be sealed in their mind by the word of God. Think of it this way. Every time we rehearse this message, that's what we do on this Zoom every Sunday. What are we doing? Rehearsing the message, going over the message. Well, I've heard that before. No, you haven't. You haven't heard what the Spirit is going to say today in that message. Mm-hmm. We're rehearsing the word. We're being sealed. Okay. So go to, I want us to see this, 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Yeah, 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And let me see here. Okay, go down to verse 3. For as much as ye are manifestly declared, yeah, you got that in the Amplified? I may want that in the Amplified. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in what tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. The word of God is not just a book on paper. They are spirit and they are life being written on the tables of our heart. Believe it, brethren. The more we rehearse the word, rehearse the message, the word became flesh until flesh becomes the word. And we become one in the same. One with Christ, the Word. The Word becomes one with us. And we become one with the Word. What does that say, Joanne, in the Amplified? Verse 3.
You show and make obvious that you are a letter from Christ delivered by us, not written with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tables of stone, but on tablets of human hearts.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Now, it is a battle. It is a battle every day, every moment sometimes. We are battling a very formidable enemy. Don't doubt that we have a formidable enemy. He wants to destroy us, and he's destroyed many lives, and he wants more. But believe that we can defeat the devil. We, and I'm going to tell you, a very practical way to defeat the devil that we do not get the mind of the beast, but we get the mind of Christ. We're going to rehearse the word. Very simple, brother. This is Sunday school. This is a Sunday school lesson. For those of you who remember what Sunday school is about. Okay. What you're going to do, and if you want to, well, you're going to have the recording, so you don't have to write these things down. But you go over these scriptures and you rehearse them. And what you're doing in your rehearsal is the word is being written on your heart and in your mind. Don't you read your Bible every day? Don't you pray every day? Yeah. Why do you do that? Because you're rehearsing the message. Because my goal, I want to be like Christ. And what did Jesus do? He was always over in the corner praying. Where's Jesus? He's over in the corner praying. And he's always expounding the word. And this is what, so what we're going to do is we're going to go over and over the scripture until we become one with the word. The first one, Psalms 119. I have known people that have memorized this whole Psalm 119. I believe there's 176 verses. Yeah, 176. But we're going to go to Psalm 119 and verse 9. Okay. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. So, what is the word doing? Cleansing. The word has a cleansing effect. Verse 10, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. How do we hide the word? We rehearse it over and over until we memorize it. It becomes one with us, and we become one with the word. Yeah, we have some ground to cover here, so we're going to move along. Psalm 119, and I want you to go to 130, verse 130. We'll start in verse 129. 129. Thy testimonies are wonderful, therefore doth my soul keep them. The entrance. Get this one, brethren. The entrance of thy words giveth what? Light. And it giveth what? Understanding. Amen. Unto the simple. That's me. I qualify. Simple truth. That's what I want. Now, what happens when the word comes in? It brings light. What happens to the darkness? The darkness is expelled. The darkness could not overcome the light. The light expelled the darkness. And how? By the entrance of thy word. Okay. This is a good one. Psalm 1, first chapter of Psalm 1. These are all verses that we are familiar with and that we should rehearse them over and over. Psalms 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. We're talking about rehearsing the word in the morning. Rehearsing the word during the course of our day. Rehearsing the word at night. I used to carry little 3x5 cards in my pocket. And sometime during the day, I'd get them out and I'd rehearse that word. Memorize. They were my memory verses. Brethren, it's going to take work. I mean work. It's a job. What is your job? My job is to be a son of God. And how do I do that? Well, I have to labor. I have to labor in God's kingdom. The first labor I do is I preserve my soul. Then I go out and labor and get others into the kingdom. Okay, a few more here. Psalms 40, 40, 40. If you use a paper Bible, I'm not saying that we're old-fashioned. I have the Bible on my phone, I have it on my computer. But when I read the Word of God, I like to have it in my hands. And you know what else I can do? I got a yellow highlighter. I got a red pen. I can circle. I can make little notes in my Bible. Mark your Bible, brother. Let your Bible be used. May it look like it's used because you're using it. Psalm 40. I waited patiently. Wait to see if that's what I want. Okay. Verse 7. Psalm 40, verse 7. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. How did it get there? It was written on your heart by the finger of God. And sometimes we talked about the fiery finger of God. Sometimes in the fire, that's when the word really becomes a revelation. Just a few more, brethren. Okay, we have to do this one. Hebrews chapter 4. We're getting a workout in our scriptures today, brethren. And we need it. I need it. God. Did we say something about a job that we have a job to do? Look at verse 11. Let us labor. Hebrews 4:11. Let us labor. It's our job. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into the rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God, it's quick. It's powerful. That word powerful there is energis, energy. Energy, brethren. Dynamic energy. The word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So if the enemy, Mr. AI, Mr. Serpent questioning the word, if the enemy comes and sows some tares among the wheat, somehow a tare gets sowed into my soul, the word of God is going to root it out. Amen. The word of God is a weapon. It's a two-edged sword, rooting out the tares. And I guarantee you, the enemy's going to keep sowing tares. But the word of God is going to root them out. Two-edged sword. Amen. I'm trying to hurry along here, brethren. Okay, Colossians. This is a good one. Colossians chapter 3. I think I want that one in the Amplified. I want to see what the Amplified says. Colossians chapter 3, and I believe it's verse 16. Okay. Well, let me start in verse 15. And the peace of God. And let the peace of God rule in your heart, to the which you are also called in one body, and be ye thankful. And let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Christ is wisdom. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. How does the word of Christ dwell in you in this aspect of what Paul is telling us? The word of God is in your psalms, it's in your hymns, it's in your spiritual song, it's in our singing with grace in our hearts to the Lord. What are we doing? I'm trying to think. Oh, well, I want you to read that, Joanne, in the Amplified. This is 3:16.
Let the word spoken by Christ, the Messiah, have its home in your hearts and minds and dwell in you in all its riches, as you teach and admonish and train one another in all insight and intelligence and wisdom in spiritual things, and as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody to God with His grace in your heart.
Amen. I'm going to give you an example here. Let me see if I can find it. I think it's Psalm 86. Okay, yes, this is it. I want you to turn to Psalm 86 and go down to verse 10. And I want to show you an example of hiding the word in your heart through songs, psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. I went to the airport when this is probably back in the, I think the early 80s. I went to the airport in Chicago to pick up brother and sister DeSeo. And We're driving back, and Mavis is in the back seat, and she wanted to teach me a song. And this is the song, and it's word for word out of the scripture, and I memorized these verses by memorizing that song. Now, this is thanks to Mavis. Verse 10, Psalm 86, verse 10. For thou art great and doest wondrous things. Thou art God alone. Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. I will praise thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart. And I will glorify thy name forevermore. You're hiding the word in your heart through the song. And at the same time, you're memorizing the word of God. Okay, a couple quick ones, and then we're going to finish. Well, we won't turn there. Jeremiah 15 and verse 16 says, Jeremiah said, I found thy words and I did eat them. It was like food to his soul. God bless you, Jeremiah. What a man of God. What a mighty man of. Now, this one, if you do not know this verse, memorize this verse. You can do this. Isaiah 26. Isaiah 26. Isaiah 26 and verse 3. Thou wilt keep him. Remember, the word of God keeps us, it's our keeper. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Because he trusteth in thee. Verse 4. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Where our minds are kept in peace by the word of God. One more, Romans chapter 12. Again, these are memory verses that you should memorize. I'm going to give you an assignment. Romans chapter 12. You know, I think I might want this one in the Amplified, Joanne. Romans chapter 12, just first two verses, Romans 12. Beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God is. Again, by rehearsing the word, by rehearsing the word, our mind is being renewed, transformed. Amen. Okay.
What is it? Romans what?
Romans 12,
I have that.
1 and 2.
All
Well,
right.
just read verse 2.
All right. Do not be conformed to this world, this age, fashioned after and adapted to its external superficial customs, but transformed, changed by the entire renewal of your mind, by its new ideals and its new attitude, so that you may prove for yourself what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God, even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in his sight for you.
Amen. Superficial. Did you catch that word?
Yeah.
That's AI, brethren. AI wants your soul because he wants to give it over to the devil. Actually, AI is the devil. I'm not saying if you use your computer, you're working with the devil. But just know that AI is out there to deceive you. Okay. Hananiah, I'm going to use their Hebrew names. Hananiah, Azariah, Mishael went into a fiery furnace and came out unsinged. How did it happen? How can it physically happen when the furnace was heated seven times hotter? How did it happen? Because they refused to bow down to the beast. The image of the beast. How did they do that? In their mind, they decided, I am not going to bow down. Throw me in the furnace if you will. I will not. Do you see a resolution, brethren, that we must have? David, the same thing. He went out. Who is this giant of a man who's cursing my God, you uncircumcised Philistine? He didn't see a giant. He saw a defeated foe because he said, God delivered the lion, the bear into my hands, and God will deliver you into my hand. He had no fear because he knew his God. Daniel went into the lion's den. I believe Daniel had no fear. And he came out the next morning because he knew his God. This is the same guy, Daniel, that wrote the words, but they that do know their God will be strong and do exploits. Because they were rehearsed in the word of God. Paul overcame beasts at Ephesus. And he somehow went against Diana, the goddess of Ephesus. And she was supposed to be the mother of all gods. And yet Paul went in fearless and overcame the beast. One more verse and we're going to finish. Go back to Revelation, the last chapter, Revelation 22. Thank you for being patient, brethren. This is not an easy message. My goodness. Revelation chapter 22, I want you to go down to verse 12. And behold, now, if you have a paper Bible, these words are in red. This is Jesus Christ speaking. And behold, verse 12, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according to the as his work shall be. I am. He's the I am. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Verse 14. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to eat of the tree of life and may enter in through the gates of the city. Jeremiah said, I found thy words and I did. The word of God is food to our soul. What Adam and Eve, let's just not blame Eve. Adam was a co-conspirator. What Adam and Eve did was they ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and were denied eating from the tree of life. And now, for 6,000 years, mankind has been battling the carnal mind, reason, AI, whatever. But there's a people. We named a few of them. The three Hebrew young men, Daniel, David, Paul, others that overcame the beast. They refused to bow the knee to the beast. They refused to give their mind over to the beast. And what consequently happened was they were sealed with the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ is feeding on this tree of life. And that will fortify our mind, that we will be sealed with the mind of Christ and will not submit to the mind of the beast. Let me close with one more scripture. I wasn't going to go here, but I think we should. Romans 8. I really think we should read this. This is all who went up into the heavenlies. You talk about satellites getting information from outer space, getting from the heavenlies, working with the heavenlies. Paul worked with the heavenlies. His mind was in the heavenlies. Okay, here we go. Verse 5. Romans 8, verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do what? Mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the spirit, the things of the spirit. Now we could say, they that are after the spirit mind the things of the spirit. Verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life. It's peace. Again, when we give our mind over to the Word of God, the words that I speak, they're spirit, life. It's a two-edged sword. It's working life where the carnal mind is working death. Because, verse 7, the carnal mind is enmity. It's warring against the mind of Christ. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But there's a people that do please God. But you are not in the flesh, verse 9, but in the spirit. If so be that the spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And verse 10, if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. Well, we have to read verse 11. I'm sorry. But if the spirit of him that raised up Christ Jesus, if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you.
Amen.
The spirit. Closing my Bible, brother. Sorry to keep you so long. The spirit of Christ is the spirit of wisdom. And understanding is knowing him. And how do we know him? By his word. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. So, brethren, we must, and this is capital M must, we must hide this word in our hearts, because he who controls the mind controls the man. So if the mind of Christ is over my mind, I will not take the mind of the beast. I will not be deceived by the beast. Well, may God help us to have the mind of Christ. Is the word of God over and over in our soul. And I could say more about that, but I think it's good that we just stop here. Again, thank you, brethren. We went a little over today. Thank you for your patience. Thank you, Lord, for this word. Let us all hide it, and may you write your laws in our hearts and minds, in Jesus' name. God bless you, brethren.
God bless you, Brother Jim. I'm.